You're listening to the Southwest Tech Daily podcast with Robert Hillier and Fayaza Khan.
Hello and welcome to the Southwest Tech Daily podcast. I'm Robert Hillier and my co-host is Fayaza Khan.
We have a fantastic podcast today with exclusive insight into the tech sector in the Southwest region and what you can do to ease the skills shortage in your company.
Some of our best coders and inventors might be in their 60s or 70s, never touched a computer. Some of our worst ones will be very young people that have been on computers and keyboards and digital games all their life. If we don't open our minds, we will end up scrabbling around for too few resources and it will be devastating.
That was Dave Tansley from Deloitte, the headline sponsor of the Southwest Tech Analysis Report 2022. Yes, it's out. And we're talking to him later in the podcast.
The report was commissioned by Tech Southwest. And I have to say, it's a really excellent piece of work with proper insight, as I said, into how we can solve the skills shortage. But I also learned some really interesting things, like there are 12,000 tech businesses in the Southwest with a 12.5% female founder rate.
Yeah, and for some perspective on that, the UK average for female founders is only 4%. The report's been developed in partnership with headline sponsor Deloitte, as we said, as well as NatWest, University of Exeter, SensorNet, Astley Media and Core. And thank you for all your help in making this research work and to Whitecap Consulting for their production of it.
Now, let's hear first from Dave Tansley from Deloitte, who we heard a little snippet from earlier. Dave is the Vice Chair and Consulting Technology Partner. He's also a chartered engineer with over 30 years of experience. We talked about how to plug the skills gap and he had some really interesting ideas, but first, I asked him what he thought about the report.
Comprehensive, thoughtful, and thought-provoking piece of work. Yeah. I'm still digesting some of the detail and the nuances of it. And it's important that these things live and breathe beyond the publication date and becoming living, breathing things that are useful and are referenced and cause people to think about the choices they make and potentially become open-minded to working in new ways. So I'm really excited about it, and the team that's done the work behind it, I think, have done a terrific job.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right about that. So when you have a report like this, and it's so comprehensive, it's got so much detail, it can't just stop at publication. Something needs to happen after, not one thing. Many things. So, for example, in this report, when they talked about the fact that there's a massive skills shortage, which we know, and that is something that's happening across the board, well, then what do we do to fix that?
There are quite knotty structural failures causing these skills shortages. So I think it requires short-term action, but also medium to long-term mindset. Many organizations would say that we are experiencing something of a talent war. And I think when that happens in a region, ultimately it's a losing game for everyone involved. In the short term, it might drive up starting salaries for certain workers with certain skills, and they may feel that's a good thing. But ultimately, businesses competing amongst themselves for scarce resource doesn't address the underlying challenges. So as well as offering fantastic career opportunities for everyone in society, we also need to make sure we've got an infrastructure that creates a pool of people with the skills that we need. Mm. And that is about education, it's about reskilling, it's around creating opportunity for everyone in society, regardless of their background and prior experience and prior educational qualification. And it's about recognizing that people really do have choice. People that live in our region could work in Silicon Valley. Mm. They could work in London. They may not have to travel. So we have a challenge of regional economies being exposed to London and arguably global wage wages, and for that to be sustainable, we need to recognize that that is the case, and make sure that when we do hire talent, that we create a brilliant experience from them. And I think the region is in a really good place for that, because we've got some great businesses doing some fantastic things that create groundbreaking opportunities for a very diverse set of people. But we've also got a wonderful part of the world to live in. You know, we've got great schools, we've got great countryside, we've got great city experiences. And I think it is that combination of things that make the tech sector in the region so attractive. But we all need to work together to expand the pool of talent that we have access to, rather than work against each other, creating a war on the pool of talent that we already have.
So I know that Deloitte is big on apprenticeships, but I wonder, because I did, I saw a report today by the TUC which talked about older workers and how, you know, there's a massive gap with older workers, because they need to be upskilled and they need to be given training and offered more work flexibility to manage their workloads. But that isn't being done. So what's actually happening is they're being driven out of the workforce because they tend to be much more expensive than younger workers. However, because of this, we also then have a skills shortage. So a good way to bridge that gap is to actually upskill older workers. And what do you think about that? Including mentorship schemes and in addition to apprenticeships.
I think you're spot on, and it's something I'm personally very, very passionate about. I mean, first of all, we need a very, very holistic response. We need to work with very young, you know, school-aged children and inspire them to pursue, more of them to pursue STEM subjects. Mm. We need to work with... you know, 18 to 21 year olds, those going into higher education, and motivate and inspire them to choose more numerate degrees. And when they do that, we need to ensure that there is an accessible route to work. But as you say, that is really just the tip of the iceberg. We also need to recognize that all members of society of whatever age are part of the solution. And therefore, the schemes being set up, such as the digital skills boot camps, are targeting people later in their career who are more than capable of acquiring new skills. And in fact, bringing older people into the digital workforce does allow us to create better solutions, because we need a diversity of thought, we need a diversity of lived experience to help in creating solutions that really do work for people. I think what we need to recognize is just how tough it is actually for somebody mid-career or very late in their career choosing to reskill, or in some cases having to reskill themselves following redundancy, etc. Just how unsettling, disturbing and difficult that can be. So as well as ensuring that there is appropriate training and reskilling opportunities available for those older workers, we also need to help employers understand how to support those workers when they join their businesses, and how to ensure that not only do they complete the training and get an interview and get a job, but when they've been offered that job, they continue to grow and to thrive and to contribute. We need to get better at it. I think we're starting, but there's a lot to do.
I think what we also need to do is realize that age is subjective at the moment. You know, it's changed massively in the way that, I mean, I don't know how old you are and what you think about this, but quite often, I mean, I live in Exeter and I'll drive past a new development and it will say something like over 50s living. And I find that really hilarious, because, I mean, people who are over 50 now, people are almost the same as people who are over 30. There really isn't any difference. It's not the same as when, you know, in the 1960s when people were over 50 and they were actually old people. You know, they're not old people. Now, my husband's 50 and, I mean, he's going to be 50 in a few months. He's not old. So I don't understand why this... We have to change our mindset towards people who are over 50 as if they're some kind of... other, because you know, so many of us are almost there.
Yeah, speaking as somebody that is you know, in their mid-20s but with over 30 years experience of being in their mid-20s, I really empathize with what you're saying. I hate being labeled as pale, stale and male, and some people do that. No idea who I am, what my lived experience is, what my attitudes are. I can show up as a 20-year-old, and I can show up as a 70-year-old as well. You know, it depends on the, you know, this idea that it's all about, you know, our young people are really important, you know, but it's not all about the millennials. I mean, quite frankly, demographically, there just aren't enough young people to go around.
No.
And 18 to 21-year-olds and whatever, they don't have all the answers. They have some of them. They do think differently. But a lot of our older people think differently as well. And, you know, there's the wisdom that comes from being on the planet a bit longer and the way that shapes how you think about a digital service or a product or whatever it is, ignore that at your peril. And we're too quick to judge. You know, some of our best coders and inventors might be in their 60s or 70s, never touched a computer. Some of our worst ones will be very young people that have been on computers and keyboards and digital games all their life. You know, let's not judge. Because if we don't open our minds, we will end up scrabbling around trying to compete for too few resources, and it will be devastating. We'll end up pushing up wage costs. We'll end up, quite frankly, with some people getting a misplaced sense of self-worth where they're, you know, they're actually being overpaid for what they're capable of doing, and they get used to it, and it will cause problems, you know, it will cause some disappointments. And we can't have a win-lose economy where one or two businesses seem to win out at the expense of others, because...
Find us on Twitter at SW Tech Daily.
Because, you know, there's got to be something in there for it. Yes, we all compete with each other, but sometimes you don't want to fight to the death. Competition. No. That's not very helpful, you know.
No, well then you need competition. Yeah. So you do need the competition. I think that
you need someone to compete with, don't you? You know,
exactly.
You can't do that by just hoovering up all of the good people. One of my epiphanies when we set up TechWorks in Bristol and we started trailing it with a number of organizations, I was really quite taken aback by the response, because I thought it would be universally positive. And what a number of people said is, well, thanks for nothing. You know, it's hard enough to recruit tech resources as it is, and now we've got to compete with Deloitte as well. Thanks for nothing.
Oh, wow.
And that triggered me to think, well, actually, there is some substance to that. So what we need to do is, in the region, be a force for good around reskilling. You know, train people that aren't trained, be willing to recruit a more diverse workforce and to invest more in the people. So as well as meeting our needs for talents, we're also training people that will raise the talent pool for everyone in the region and creating a sort of net addition to the skills in the region. For the benefit of others, and really that's where we dialed up our involvement with the Institute of Coding, with the various skilling schemes, because it's the right thing to do. And it creates a talent pipeline for us, but it creates a talent line for other businesses. So now when I have that conversation, I can say, well, no, hang on a minute, we are training lots and lots of people in the region, and yes, we will recruit some of them, but we are putting back as much as we're taking out. We're not just skimming off the top, you know, cohort of talent, because that isn't sustainable for the reasons that I mentioned. And you know, we can't just recruit people that are hired guns that are just there for the highest salary, because they're really hard to retain. We want people that we've invested in, that are loyal, that are committed, that see a longer term pathway. So I think we all businesses have a civic duty almost to raise the bar for everyone, not just the small percentage of people in the region that any one organisation will ever employ. You just can't make a big enough impact.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I also know that as part of Deloitte's 5 million futures campaign, it's important to you that the Southwest has a fair chance to compete on a national scale. From what you've seen in the report, how close are we as a region to being able to do that?
I think it's a real challenge, actually. There is a risk, and it may not be a risk, it might be an issue, it might be something that's crystallized, where the region could be in that not spot where the region is doing well. We have we have a fantastic industrial base. We have some really innovative high growth companies creating some real prosperity in the region. But there's a bit of a gotcha, which is are we potentially doing well enough not to attract vast sums of government funding and government aid to compared to other regions in the country, but not doing so well that we don't need it. We need to be very, very thoughtful about that. You mentioned that we need to create opportunity regionally. We need to be best in class nationally. And as a nation, we need to be able to compete on the global stage. And that requires all of our tech clusters, tech sectors to thrive on doing what they're really good at and to collaborate with one another. So that, the country as a whole thrives and prospers. And that won't happen if the Southwest region isn't able to get access to the funding it needs to build on, the brilliant base we already have, but to take the innovation from being regionally significant to nationally significant to globally significant. So I think there is more we all need to do to secure a fair share of funding to allow those, the technology unicorns, the bright stars that we have in the region to really thrive and prosper. It is in everyone's interest to do that. And you might call it fear of missing out. I think there is more to do.
Dave Tansley from Deloitte. The Tech Southwest website has the report in full, and if you head to Southwest Tech Daily online, you can read some extra insight from the website editor and tech expert Peter Evans. Now, let's move on and get some more insight and feedback from this report and what we might be able to take out of it for the sector in the Southwest. We're going to hear from Louis Spencer from NatWest. As the technology lead for NatWest, Louis is in charge of building relationships and looking for opportunities across the region, which will be a key part of building the sector, as mentioned in the new report.
I don't particularly think there were any major shocks. So, the war on talent going on in tech right now and sort of the wage inflation that, firms are experiencing. And I'm pretty sure most people that speak to sort of business owners and managers in the sector will, that's one of the key headaches that they will share with you if you speak to those people in sort of C-suite levels. And the other probably, which I think is probably most appropriate for me to comment upon, was around sort of funding in the sector and probably the disparity within the region. So Bristol and Bath, I think Bristol and Bath and Gloucester probably sort of see more funding than sort of the south of the southwest region, down in sort of Devon and Cornwall, really. And so I think, quite rightly, I think the report sort of draws out that I think we need to challenge ourselves quite a lot on how we fix that problem, in essence, especially in early stage life cycles. So sort of seed area where there's a sort of funding up to £1 million and a first sort of material round, really, that I sense there's a big risk gap, which, we've seen everywhere. So I think that's sort of the two major things, actually, that the report sort of quite rightly identifies for us to work on as a region.
And especially with Cornwall having one of the most forefront hubs of accelerators and incubator companies in Falmouth Launchpad, I found it quite shocking and actually quite sad that the lower part of the Southwest does not get as much as other parts of the region.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, who knew, right? So the quickest growing part of our region is down in Cornwall, right? So again, probably another really, really positive highlight that's come out of the report is the fact that everyone now knows this in the region. And I think one of the good things, Faiza, is that, and I'm sure you've sort of come into contact with, but actually, despite this, you know, despite Tech Southwest being only, you know, a few years old, everyone in the region is really, really collegiate and collaborative. And so, you know, now that we, you know, begin to call these things out, everyone can sort of really lean into them in a serious way and begin to sort of solve some of those problems. So, you know, I totally agree with you, actually, it is almost sort of a sad indictment that we've probably got a nationally important, potentially even an internationally important part of the, you know, the region with a specialism in a subsector of technology that's sort of, you know, not attracting the same levels of investment or, you know, talent or resourcing. But the good, you know, the good news is now that we know that it's in print and everyone can begin to lean into that problem.
For people like you in positions like yours, but outside of the Southwest, who may not have the understanding of what's going on down here, what do you think they might take away? What opportunities do you think they might see if they weren't as familiar as we are with what's happening down here?
The sheer depth and I guess the long tail of activity. I just feel like there may have been a perception issue, Rob, and you know, rightly or wrongly. I feel like, you know, the level of activity probably was sort of underestimated down in that, you know, in the south of the region, in Cornwall. And so, I think you'll get, you know, my gut feeling is you'll get an overwhelmingly positive reaction. And
come and join the conversation on LinkedIn, Southwest Tech Day.
Positive reaction and tick up in the level of engagement that you know, Falmouth is a really good example that you'll get out of the back of the report. And one of the things that will naturally happen for, you know, and I can probably talk to most corporates or people that have got strong regional coverage but actually might not be planted in the, you know, in the heart of the Southwest, is, you know, we will quickly review how we face off to that, you know, to that part of the region in a better way, right? And it's something that, you know, I'm doing now in the bank. So, you know, whilst I'm sort of west of England focused here and now, you know, absolutely, you know, we should have regional coverage and almost boots on the ground in the areas that have been called out as, you know, that need further support because they're growing really well and they're successful in their own right. And so, you know, one of the major takeaways for me personally, and I suspect that this will be replicated across our region, across sort of a real broad range of professional service firms and business support and, you know, everything that, you know, gets wrapped around tech firms. I suspect you'll see a tick up in engagement now after this report.
Actually, people might also be quite surprised at the amount of innovation happening here in the Southwest. And I think people also might, I mean, I was surprised to find out that Gloucestershire had most concentration of tech workers and also was leading in cybersecurity. I mean, did you know that?
Do you know what? I've got a bit of a cheat answer, really, because we're obviously very near to sort of Gloucester, and I guess I know of people that work at GCHQ, so I'm probably the wrong person to get a straight answer out of the back of that. But actually, you know, that Gloucester analogy and being, you know, a leader in cyber, and Falmouth and Cornwall being a leader in space tech, you know, I was staggered. There's probably five or six different versions of that. Marine tech down in Plymouth, for example, you know, another one that is, you know, being called out and highlighted in the report, and quite rightly so.
So you think that the report will actually be almost like a trampoline for funding coming to the region? Is it?
I feel like it will. I feel like what we need to remember as well is, you know, the Southwest in terms of standing up its, you know, its external articulation and its identity to people outside the Southwest. We're still, you know, this report is a fantastic sort of step in the right direction on that, but we're still sort of fairly embryonic in that journey, I think. And so, you know, whilst the report is a fantastic platform, you know, I agree. I feel like it's a real, you know, it'll be a real good catalyst and a trampoline, another really good analogy to go, actually, you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of investment activity, there's a lot of innovation, there's a lot of development, and actually, you know, you quite naturally, I think you'll pique the interest of, you know, of investors, you know, and I think that's a I think that's a really fair analogy, and I think that, you know, the 200 million fund that I think will be sort of pushed through the British Business Bank is, you know, another real positive. You know, another real positive recognition, really, of the region, and that, you know, we need to do more, and there is an opportunity to do more. You know, I feel like investor opportunity far outweighs sort of capacity and investor population right now. So hopefully we can begin to sort of balance that up a bit.
100%. And just finally, just to bring it back to you as well, I'm interested to know the role that you play and people like you play with the influence and the kind of authority, you know, that people look to you, don't they, for the direction of travel and areas of opportunity. How important do you think it is that people in your position and the role that you play in driving this the Southwest tech economy forward?
I'm in an extremely sort of fortunate position to work in a FTSE 100 business with really strong regional coverage, and we've got good access to different parts of that organization, which, you know, is well resourced, and actually we can begin to bring the bank to our communities and ecosystems regionally. And so, you know, one of the things that I've been in this role about 5 years now, one of the first things that I changed in my role, just to give you an example, maybe this is a bit of a nod for, you know, we need to see more of this right across the piece, but actually in banking, for example, you usually get consigned to managing customers in a city region, or potentially a county. That's typically the way it works. And, you know, the type of the customers and the scale of the customers might be defined by really arbitrary sort of, you know, revenue buckets, or if you're a bank, how much you borrow or whatever. And actually one of the big changes we made quite early on after me taking this role was that, you know, clearly that operating model isn't fit for purpose if you're facing off to, you know, more of a cluster environment, which is more regionally focused. And I think, and in the time that I've been in this role, 4 or 5 years now, we've seen through my eyes grow from a sort of a Bristol and Bath cluster with increasing focus, you know, and I've seen this happen in conversations and in networking, and, you know, with general sort of discussion, that we need to sort of pivot towards, you know, a regional focus. And I think one of the big things that, you know, organizations can do is almost reflect what's going on in the market and face off in a way that means that, you know, you can have a more efficient impact on the market. So now NatWest Bank has stood up in a way that we can cater for regional activity, and we don't have to have separate, there isn't a Louis in Bristol and then a separate person in Cornwall and in Devon trying to run their own agendas. I've got a line of sight over the whole of the Southwest now, which is important, isn't it? Because when you try to, you know, add into these ecosystems, is probably the most efficient way of doing it. And I feel like that probably has had an impact.
From NatWest there, that was a senior relationship manager for the Southwest. That was Louis Spencer.
What was I talking about? A trampoline for the Southwest. I mean, obviously I meant to say springboard, but I couldn't get the word out of my dyspraxic brain.
Well, it's just a bouncier springboard, isn't it? A trampoline. So the sentiment is the same.
Thank you.
As I say, to find out more about the report, head to the Southwest Tech Daily website. Our editor, Peter Evans, has written an in-depth piece with insights directly from the Tech Southwest research.
That's all we have time for today. But before we go, please remember to subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening. It really helps us to get higher in the rankings. And also, it just means that you'll be able to find us whenever you need to. And if you want to talk about your tech business, just get in touch. We would love to hear from you. You can get in touch on LinkedIn, tweet at me.
Or Tech Southwest directly, or Tech Southwest Official. We're across all the channels.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Why did you have to have the last word? You said bye. I said bye, then you said bye again.
I think I just need to show who's wearing the pants in this relationship.
Well, I mean, I'm wearing trousers. I don't know.
Is that sexist?
What that's got to do with it.
This is the Southwest Tech Daily podcast. Robert Hillier and Fayaza Khan.